Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt DeAndrea here with my friend Jay Fenning. He's the host and producer of the Hard Parking Podcast with Jay Fenning. I've been on the show before, and it's a great show. It's a good lifestyle stuff. Get into some automotive stuff as well. And you guys should definitely check that out at hardparkingpod.com. CarCast brought to you by Bravago, best tasting hard seltzer in the universe. We're very excited. We just won another round of awards from RTD Magazine. It's the Ready to Drink magazine, and they gave us awards for all three of our products again. And our vanilla orange cream won the gold. We won another round of awards as well, where that same flavor won best vanilla flavor overall for the year. So good, excited about that. Hopefully you guys try it out, see if you like it. It's at drinkbravago.com. We ship to 38 states. Jay, how are you?
Man, I'm great. You know, thank you. It's exciting to be here. Thank you for the opportunity. The Bravago success is amazing. Everybody I share it with loves it. You know, we're at that little shindig, you know, during auction week, and I'd asked everyone around me to try it. And as you saw, everyone loved it. So congratulations on that success. And, you know, I'm going to continue to drink it because a lot of those seltzers, and this isn't an advertise, you guys don't pay me for any of this stuff, but yeah, I buy it because I actually like it, and I like to support things that friends are doing, but it's an amazing drink.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah, the event you were talking about is the Radford Racing School in Arizona. It used to be the Bondurant School, and it was acquired some years back, and they've really been kind of pumping some money into it and turning it into a really, really cool event. And the owner of that school put on an event at his house, I guess sponsored by Alfa Romeo as well. And then we reached out and said, you know, we'd love to have our drinks there at your bar. So we did, and appreciate everybody that came out to that and tried the drinks. But nice pad he's got out there. The owner of Pat, he's got himself a sweet house, and Alfa Romeo's parked in the yard, and Radford Racing cars parked in the front yard. It's a nice thing. So that kind of kicked off my Arizona auction week, I guess Wednesday night, when I got out there. Yeah, it's cool. There's some cool stuff I want to get into. I want to get into some of these auction results as well. Sure. Previously on CarCast, we talked about a few of the cars that I thought were kind of interesting to look at, and we wanted to see if they sold, did they do well, and there's kind of overall how Barrett Jackson went and kind of the spectacle and the party that it is. This year especially, everybody came out. And we'll get into that in a minute, but I'm going to go ahead and see if I can show you guys some of this stuff. So,
you know, while you're pulling that up, I gotta say, you know, the Stellantis Alpha Radford thing that we went to, I started sending my wife videos, and of course there's a pro and a con to that. Number one, you know, I show her that I'm not out there getting in trouble, but of course the con is we should do that to our house too.
So yeah,
it's
right.
Not really in our budget, but
you mean you should park three Alfa Romeos in your backyard?
Exactly.
You should get sponsors. That's what she means. We should get sponsors for our house. We should get car sponsors and bar sponsors and sushi sponsors. I wish I could come in and have all that stuff. Yeah. But this house looked more like a museum than anything else. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah. And then with Chip Foose sitting there, whipped out his markers and drew a photo. I mean, just this amazing drawing. and then gave it away. And then my friend got the bleed through from the marker. You just can't make that stuff up.
Yeah. They actually, Ralph Gilles, the head of design for Stellantis, had a draw off, a little competition between Chip Foose and himself. And they both kind of went at it and yeah, and gave stuff away. It was fun.
Yeah, it was amazing
to catch up with that. We sat, Chip Foose and I sat and had dinner at the table there and got a chance to catch up for like an hour. And yeah, he's got a lot going on. His shop's always busy.
Amazing. Yep.
Checking out RM. This first car over here, this, this 427 Cobra. Interesting because the 427 Cobras have always done very well. This one at $1.2 million. But the ones that have really been climbing are the 289 Cobras. And RM had this 289 Cobra, 1.215. The 289 Cobra did better than the 429 Cobra, which is really kind of interesting. Trying to move my screen around here a little bit. This is kind of interesting because that the white 289 Cobra, I had connected Sammy Hagar with the guys at Superformance some years ago, and he was interested in having them build him a Cobra. And he was like, I like the narrow body 289 style Cobras. And this is what he essentially built. Now he built the replica version of this white as well. The wire wheels, the whole thing. He may be selling it now. He's had it for a lot of years and he's Sammy Hagar. And he likes to change cars.
Well, this is an incredibly classy looking vehicle. This looks like something you would take up to maybe Pebble or something where, you know, the traditional one is just to the wall, you know?
Yeah, right. So the 427 version is kind of the bonkers version. And that's the one that everyone kind of goes after. But don't underestimate the 289 Cobras. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I had this page open as well because we've got the three Shelbys here. We've got the GT350H, the Hertz car, the GT350, and the GT500. Now, understandably, the GT350 and the GT500, you see very similar looking cars, but there is a little bit of a price difference going almost $230,000 to $360,000 between the two. But the one that I brought up on a previous show was the GT350H at $170,000 at almost $171,000. This is actually on the higher end, but I just don't know why these Hertz cars didn't really move. It feels like they've been sitting at 100, 100 and a quarter for, you know, 15 years, and now maybe just creeping up a little bit. And we've always sort of talked about on the show about how the big brother drags up the little brother, right? You look at the Gullwing, and what it does is it brings up the 190 SL a little bit. You know, the 190 was, I don't know, $30,000 car. Now it's, I don't know, a couple hundred grand or something like that. And maybe that's what's going on here is these Shelbys would be bringing up the Hertz car. Honestly, if I was RM or if I was the consignor who owned that Hertz car, I would have really asked for, instead of lot 122, I would have wanted it to be 125 or 124 after these two cars. Because if you saw the GT350 go and then the GT500, I'd want my Hertz car to go and probably would have dragged it up a little bit. Because anyone bidding on these two cars that didn't get it would have been like, oh, here's another shot to maybe try to get the Hertz car. So I know they kind of went small, medium, and large and as far as the docket goes, but for the sake of the consigners, I would have went large, medium, small. I would have started with the big car because you know it's going to get money, and anybody who doesn't want it probably would have thrown a little extra for the other two cars. That's just my opinion. That's how I would have helped the consigners, but also make a little bit more money for RM.
And as just a regular car person, is that kind of one of those strategies, you know, the placement of the lot?
Well, it is. So you do compete for lot space, especially at a big event and a no reserve auction like a Barrett Jackson. You want prime time spots. When you're consigning a car, part of what you're trying to do, if you have what they call the salon collection cars over at Barrett Jackson or here, if you have, this is all kind of premium cars, but yes, you scroll down to the end of this auction, and there was the Maybach and the Rolls Royce. These are $400,000 cars that are worth $180,000. And yes, they're at the tail end of the auction.
Jeez, look at that Series 1.
Yeah, the Shelby Series 1 getting $112,000. I like the car, but it wasn't really that successful. I think it's just because it's a GM parts bin car. Carbon fiber body, cool look, and just struggled to get past $100,000 for so long. It just wasn't quite there. But yeah, if you're at the end of the auction, and you've got a little bit of money in your pocket and you want a good like road trip car, you grab that Maybach right there. Maybe grab that Rolls-Royce Phantom. By the way, $200,000 for a Rolls-Royce Phantom. This car was, what, $450,000, almost $500,000? This isn't the Ghost. This is the Phantom. This is the big boy.
That's the thing. Yeah, that's a nice one.
Yeah, it's massive. It's nice.
I feel like I'd have to hire someone to drive it while I sat in the back.
Yeah, although we road tripped a Ghost to Monterey Car Week and back and spent the week with it. And
nice.
Just one of the nicest driving cars I've ever driven.
So you got stuck driving it.
No, I did. I drove it. It was me and it was Adam Kroll, and it was his son and Sonny, and I don't know if somebody else was with us in the car at the time. But I pretty much do the drive the whole time there, and it's fun to do. I know you guys heard me talk about this a million times. The Jaguar XJ220, great supercar looks, really kind of held down by sort of a dated looking interior and the 6-cylinder engine. Jay, I don't know how familiar you are with the XJ220, but to me, just an underrated supercar. It's got the look then, and as kind of a 80s movie aficionado, I look at this car and I go, oh yeah, this is Charlie Sheen and the Wraith back in the day, although that was a Chrysler. Brought that car onto Jay Leno's garage once. And the car that always bugged me about that car is the car in the Wraith. It had like this supercar look, but it was just lifted like a monster truck. I don't recall what chassis they put in it. It just bothered me so much that it was sat so high. This is a car that I've been saying is going to be creeping up in value in years. And although I've been saying it for years, it hasn't really moved much. I don't know if I'm wrong or if I'm still waiting this out, but I think it's a cool piece. And
less than 300, huh? But I think the funny thing about this car, I remember it well. I got all the Road and Track magazines, Exotic Cars Quarterly, DuPont Registries. And as a typical younger car person, I looked at it and I go, wow, that's a cool looking car, but those wheels. So
it's a weird
thing. I've seen it with upgraded wheels and it looks completely different.
It looks good, but now it's like, but the wheels are so bad, they're iconic to the car. If you change the wheels, I think it just looks like a kit car at that point, which is weird because I did this with my 95 Ford Lightning. The 95 Ford Lightning has those weird, you know, sort of fan looking wheels, and they're not great. There's such better wheels out there. They're not that good, but it is the one thing that really makes the difference between an F-150 and the Lightning, right? You can see that thing from 100 feet away and go, I know it's a Lightning because of the wheels. Like, nobody ever gets Lightning wheels and puts them on an F-150 because they're ugly. So when I was bringing mine to the SEMA show, what's that?
Your custom wheels.
Yes. So when I was bringing mine to the SEMA show, we were doing a big brake package on it. So Brad Fanshaw at Bond Speed Wheels made me a custom one-off billet set. We scanned the original wheels. We did sort of a three-dimensional billet version of it, a two-piece, and we made them directional. So the fans are the correct rotation right and left. They're 18-inch, and they're slightly staggered. They're 18-9s in the front, 18-10s in the back with a little bit of dish on it. When I put it at the SEMA show, it was in the Magnaflow booth outside by the Ford out front area. And the guy at Magnaflow, who's with the trailer and the other cars, he's there the whole time. And he kind of just looks at the cars and he goes, all day people were coming up and going, oh, it's a Lightning. It's a Lightning. And then when they see the wheels, they're like, what's going on here? And he's like, yeah, those are a billet set of wheels. And it's like, I just made them look like the stock wheel, but a billet set. I just kind of made them a little bit better instead of the cast set. So I kind of feel like the wheels on this car now you kind of would have to keep them. By the way, they're a cool center lock wheel.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, it's interesting. There's no dish in the wheel, but in the back, the center lock has all the dish. Anyway, I just think it's a cool piece, a cool car. Probably rides like shit and you can't see out of it, but it's still cool to put in the.
That windshield would be expensive to replace. Yeah, one of my recent trips to Michigan, I rode in a Vector.
Yeah, how was
W8,
that?
Which is one of my dream cars. And of course, you know, it's never meet your heroes, right? I would still love to have one day, but man, that car is a wreck. But the owner did the same thing with the wheels, basically, you did, is he had paid someone to reproduce the factory wheels in larger, more modern sizes for just a better visual fitment, and it looks great. So,
yeah,
you know, good job on your Lightning.
I'm down with that. You know, we even on other cars, like I get it. You've got the original wheels. You want to keep them, but if you want to do something a little different, just as you drive around, Adam Carolla's Porsche 935, you can't get the right size tires for that for racing. So everybody just uses a BBS wheel for it. Speaking of Adam, this is a car that we had our eye on. We just kind of want to see the values of these things. We always been a fan of these. This is the Lamborghini GT 350, or sorry, the 350 GT. I was thinking back to Shelby for a second. This one of That's our funny. Favorite color combos out there. This is the blue Note with tobacco interior. This one I saw in person up there. And another thing that you know you love about this car is it's got a wire wheel on it, but it's got a wire wheel with some dish in it. And it changes it completely. You look at the stance of that car, and the wire wheel with the dish really kind of makes this car. This one was great. I'm glad to see this car go for $632,000. That's a good number for this car. I think it's going to also affect the 400 GTs because it's the similar car that's after this. So cool. Very happy to see that car go.
For the people listening to this, you need to look this vehicle up. This Lamborghini 350 GT. This is a 1965. I've never seen anything like this before. And if I saw it on the street, I would never guess that it was a Lamborghini. And it's different looking. It's pretty cool.
It's the first Lamborghini. This is the first model car that he did.
Wow. Yeah.
And yeah, as a reminder, we're starting to put these podcasts up on YouTube. So if you go to the CarCast YouTube channel, you'll see us, you'll hear us. And then as I'm scrolling around here, you'll be able to see that as well. If everything gets recorded the way it's supposed to be recording.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
We talked about the Cobra, and this is another car I wanted to see. I don't know if you had a chance to meet Rod Emery at Emery Motorsports.
I have not.
You have not. So Rod is the nicest guy, and he's been doing this. He's been at this game for a long time, and he's doing sort of what Singer is doing. And I hate comparing everybody to Singer. I think it's unfair to Singer because they sort of created a category, but sure. You do look at what Jonathan Ward is doing at Icon and what Singer is doing and what Velocity, I guess, is doing with Broncos and a number of companies. And then how do you make them stand out? A Singer stands out and an Icon stands out and they do pull money at auctions. Rod has been building some pretty amazing cars for a long time, and he's been doing these Porsche 356, these bathtub cars, the speedsters and the coupes, and the outlaw version of this car, because he does a restoration as well. The outlaw version is his hot rodded version of the car. And to see this car pop up at RM, whoever he sold it to, it's a client car. He's not selling it direct, to my understanding. To see this car pop up, have a really good estimate on it, and then just crush it. I mean, $747,500. And I think the estimate was something like 6 to 8, whereas a lot of the cars come in on the low end of the estimates or just barely fall in with the fee, and this crushed it. Now, keep in mind, this is not a lot of car. It's a small car. It's like Adam and his Datsun 510s or his BRE Roadster.
These are tiny.
Yeah, it's a 2.6 liter four-cylinder. He's getting 260 horsepower out of it. But I don't know, probably weighs 2,000 pounds, maybe even less than that. And it's just an incredible piece. I'm so glad to see Emery Motorsports get the recognition that I think it deserves. If you get a chance to see one of these cars in person or even visit Emery shop, you should do that. The McLaren Speedtail.
Wow. Look
$2 million. Just over $2 million. The reason why I like the Speedtail is because the McLaren F1 was so wildly successful. And I think Leno was in a video recently. I don't even know if it was his video. I forgot who it was. But he took two guys for a ride in his McLaren F1. And they basically pointed out, they're like, you bought this car new for $800,000 and it's worth $20 million. And, you know, or more than that. And he's like, you've made almost $1 million a year on your car, which is a crazy thing. And it's probably not quite that much, but it's a lot. It's a lot of money that he's made on that car by just having it. The McLaren Speedtail is a really cool piece. And it is a three-seater. It's a center drive three-seater like the McLaren F1. Now, it's not technically street legal in the U.S. It's the, you know, the show and display car.
Definitely doesn't look street legal.
Yeah, but it's just, it's
looks
a
cool, fantastic. It's beautiful. Piece.
I mean, I don't know how to make it street legal. I don't know what they did to not make it street. I mean, there's no mirrors on it. There's probably no turn signals. And you know, if it's got brake lights and headlights and you can somehow get a license plate on the back, I'm sure somebody's put it on the street. Somebody like with a dealer plate just said, "Hey, I'm moving it around from here to there." And
yeah, no one's trying to crash that to make it street legal.
Yeah, no one's doing that. But it's interesting because I think it is street legal in other countries, just not street legal here. I think in England it is street legal, and I don't know what they've done to it on a U.S. version versus that. Besides things like side markers and mirrors and stuff. I think it uses cameras, and here we don't allow cameras in place of side mirrors, which I'm not quite sure why. It seems like
everyone else is doing it. How would you describe this color? And this is a 2020 McLaren Speedtail.
Yeah, it's a weird kind of like light blue metallic and a lot of metallic in it. When you see the car in person in the shaded areas, it has a dark blue hue to it. And then when lights on it, it really kind of pops. But the Speedtail is meant to be a top speed car. So when you look at the back of this car, that's where the name comes from. It's got this long swoopy tail to it. Like some land speed cars and stuff that you might see, just has a lot of length to it. It's just all about managing that airflow over the top and how to keep it stable in a high speed run. But anyway, cool car, just a cool piece.
$2 million,
$12,500. And then this
wow,
Audi, this 84 Audi Sport Quattro. When I was talking with Adam Carolla, this is another car that caught our attention because 80s cars are really starting to move. Of course, we're seeing things like Mustang Cobra R models and Grand National GNX, and even Vipers are creeping up, although that's more 90s. This car, we've seen the 80s racing cars really start to move and the rally cars start to move, but this is a street car. It's somewhat limited production, but this is just a really cool example of an Audi Quattro street car. $665,000 this goes for. They made 214 of these, which is limited, but not that limited. I think that Ferrari 350 GT, I don't know, it's like 112 or something of those. The Mustang Cobra, the 93 R model, 107 of those made. And these days, when a manufacturer wants to do a limited edition run of something like Bugatti or Aston Martin and some of these companies that do a limited run, like they're doing 12, you know, or 20 or 25. Sure. They're not doing a couple hundred. So this is a cool piece. It's good to see. This is good for 80s collectible cars. This one has 5,472 miles on it. So it's not like this car took off because it was on Bring a Trailer. It had 9 miles and it's an Acura Integra Type R with 9 miles on it. That's been sitting in the garage for
easy there.
Decades, right?
Everything rotting away, but you know.
Right. Anyway, it's a cool piece.
So this one, it says it's one of the few that is believed to be delivered to Japan. White on white. Gotta love the white cars with the white wheels.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, as cool of a picture as this is, and or as cool of a car as that is, the overall composition of this photo that you guys can't see is what I can't keep my eyes off of. It's in a perfectly white garage with a white door and white walls and white ceiling, and it looks very sterile. Looks like something from a movie.
Somebody figured it out, right?
Someone's trying to sell a toolbox.
Right. But somebody figured out how to make this photo work. Like, they were getting it all set up.
It's perfect.
Anyway, I'm going to close a few of these windows so I don't get too lost here, but Barrett-Jackson, moving on to Barrett-Jackson, a few of the cars that that stood out to me, these cars, I just got to point out these sort of Eleanor recreation cars. Now this one I believe is the Shelby licensed I forgot the name of the company. I don't know why I just blanked on the name of the company.
Is this the full carbon fiber recreation?
Yeah, I don't think it's the full carbon fiber body, but it's the same. It's the same company that was doing it. Now we've seen these. Classic Recreations is the company. They don't do a full like Eleanor knockoff, but it's a similar type of car. They don't do the hood, which is cool because I don't really like the hood, and they do fewer lights in the front because it just look like a weird bug with too many lights in the front. This is a Coyote engine with a supercharger on it, which is a great combination. But you do start to see, you go to Barrett-Jackson, you'll see anywhere between 5 and 10 Eleanor cars pop up there. And once the estate from the original movie Gone in 60 Seconds, they lost their lawsuit on, they were charging licensing fees for every one of those Eleanor recreations. And they lost in court the trademark. They were saying, well, the Eleanor car is our car. You got to pay us money, which is crazy because the first movie didn't use the car that everybody keeps recreating, right? That was the Bruckheimer film,
right?
With Nick Cage. And so they lost in court. And
as they should have.
And they were charging $30,000 per car for a licensing fee. So if you paid the license, I guess there's still some cachet and say it was officially licensed during the time when a license, I guess, was required. But now that it's not required, anybody can make these. Any shop can make these for you. But you do start to see a difference between the quality of the car. You'll see Eleanor's go up there for $100,000-$120,000. And they've just got, an iron block 302 that costs $5,000. And then you'll see some in there with a modern day Shelby GT500 engine. That's a $35,000 engine with electronics. And those cars are getting $250,000. This car, did well.
Yeah. At $517,000. So
yeah, that's
half $1 million.
Big money for that car for sure.
This was your favorite one, wasn't it?
This one was just bonkers as far as the auction. We're looking at the Mercedes SL Gullwing, the 56 Mercedes.
This
SL
is the weekend
Gullwing.
High, I believe.
Yes, but at RM, they had one that went for $1.7 million. Now, this one has a little bit more of a history to it. And I believe this is an alloy body car. We'd have to scroll through all the specs to make sure, but it is interesting. It's a special car, and alloy cars have really kind of made the difference. But oh my gosh, $3.41 million for a Gullwing. And a few years ago, these were $1.2 million. They've crept up a little bit to about $1.7 million, as we saw over at RM. But, you know, they still made a handful of these cars, and it seems like any notable auction, around the country has at least one of these, if not one of these and a roadster. So they're not impossible to get. It's just one of those cars that it's beautiful. It's a great collectible, but if you wanted one, you could probably make a couple of calls and get one, you know, almost
Right.
immediately.
It's a nice car, right? But is it twice as nice as the 1.7, you
I
know?
see, that's the thing, is I don't think it is, man. The room, this is the thing. It's like Barrett Jackson, the spectacle that it is. There's some cars that are a good deal, and then just sometimes the room gets so exciting and something like this happens. Now, there's got to be two people in the room bidding on this. So two people thought, you know, $3 million was still worth it for this car. And it's going to be tough for them to make it back. They'll probably will, but it's going to be a little while. You think of the 10 years or so it's taken to get these cars from about 1 million to 1.7 million, other than this car. By the way, the hammer price is 3.1 million. You add the fee and something, or it's 3.1
Sure.
million and change. So you add the fee. So the 3.4 million is with the fee.
But I gotta tell you, Barrett Jackson week is the only week out of the year that I'm glad I don't have adult money.
Seriously,
I'd be buying a lot of stuff.
this is a car you have to be familiar with.
Absolutely.
I love the LFA, the Lexus LFA. Now, Lexus LFAs are going for about $750,000. The Nürburgring edition cars are going for almost $1 million more. This one went for 1.650. Cool car. I don't think there's a massive difference between the LFA and the Nürburgring edition, other than its limited availability and some of its, you know,
And a
like the
million
plaques on
dollars.
the engine and stuff, and the $1 million.
Yep. $1 million on auction week. It's a big difference.
Listen, if you're collecting an LFA, this is the car you want. If you're driving an LFA, save the $1 million, get the regular one, because you're just gonna
Sure.
drive off the value a little bit. There's only a handful of people that get to drive their cars on a regular basis and still retain the value. Guys like Leno, he gets to drive them and restore them back, and because he's Leno, he gets to keep all the
Right.
value in it. But, you know, good for him. He deserves it.
It's the Leno value. Yep.
You
Owned by
know,
Jay Leno, driven by Jay Leno. It's worth money.
I've driven three LFAs in my life.
I've seen three LFAs.
I've driven three, and I got to do a track day up at Willow Springs on in an LFA. Two LFAs, actually.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. I have a good buddy with one, but I haven't driven it, and I've only seen it. He daily drives his Zanardi NSX. Got a couple hundred thousand miles on it. It's curb rash, so.
Yeah, that's a cool car. Let me hit a few of these. I just want to get into these auction cars, and I want to talk about some of your stuff real quick. This is a Shelby recreation. Now, this was a charity car. The kids at the school that the Shelby organization donates to built the car, and they sold it at Barrett Jackson as a charity car in an effort to raise money for their school. Now, this went for $100,000. I think that's kind of on the low end. Now, Barrett Jackson doesn't take a fee or anything on the charity cars. It just goes directly to them. You write the check directly to the charity. It doesn't go through Barrett Jackson. They're just there to help facilitate the sale. It's a cool piece. I would have liked to have seen $150,000 for this car, but also
Seems a little low.
the Mustang Dark Horse VIN number one. I think that went for $375 for JDRF, that organization. In the past, those types of cars would usually pull about a $500,000. Now, I think the timing was a little off on that car, because Barrett Jackson does a good job of getting VIN number one on many cars: Corvettes, Mustangs, Toyota Supra when that came out. And when you bid on the car, they often rolled out the prototype car. And then when you get VIN one, you get to tour the factory, go visit them, build your car, pick your colors, pick your paint, pick everything, and get the whole like VIP experience. Now, because the timing of this auction and when the Mustang came out, you didn't get to do that on the Dark Horse VIN number one. It was already built, and the car they rolled up there was the car you get. So I think taking away the experience, is what probably knocked that thing down to about 375 from probably what would have been $500,000. But anyway, this is still a cool car. I liked it. This last piece, I don't even know how to explain it. Hopefully you're watching this on YouTube, or if you go check it out on YouTube. But there was a 2009 Humvee that was wildly modified, and they turned it into a 6x6. And this thing was going nuts in the room.
This thing broke the internet.
And it did. And it sold for $825,000. It's got a Hellcat engine in it. I was up there with a whole crew of people watching this thing. And we're like, it's cool. But we were just like, but what do you do with it? It's not a movie car. It doesn't go into like the Hollywood exhibit at the Peterson Museum. It's just this wacky piece that I don't know what you do with. Like, once you get it, like, I just don't fully understand. But to at least two people in the room, they understood it far better than I did, because they bid this thing up and someone paid $825,000 for it. So I don't know. Good on them,
and it's,
I guess.
It's very, people either love it or they hate it, apparently, you know, kind of reading along online.
Yeah.
It's very unique, like you're saying. I mean, Gas Monkey Garage was Rollins, and
I don't know his involvement with it. I don't know if he owned it and he was selling it and he bought it from somebody initially, but
something
he didn't
like
build
that.
It.
Yeah.
There was other builders listed. He was up on stage. So I don't know. Maybe he saw it from somebody and he bought it and he was selling it to make a profit, in which case he did very well, because there's no way he paid anywhere near this initially.
Sure. And it's the same. What do you do with it? You know, you roll it up and down the strip. You can't go, you know, everyone's standing in line for the clubs and the restaurants gets to see it, but eventually they go inside and they're eating and drinking and you're still rolling up and down the strip because you can't do anything with it.
You take it to a Cars and Coffee or something. You just roll it out on the weekend.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess it's street legal.
It's an awesome vehicle. It's just, what do you do with it?
Yeah. What do you do with it? Anyway.
Here we go.
Donald Trump's Lamborghini Diablo. This is another car that did very well. And it just goes to show you, the story is what adds so much value to the cars. This is not Donald Trump selling his Diablo. There's been two owners since Trump, I believe. Whoever bought this for $1.1 million, by the way, is, I guess, the fourth owner. Just reading the room at Barrett Jackson, by the way, when they rolled this thing out on stage, the room got loud. People were cheering for this thing. And then as the
everybody
auction
stood
went,
up.
Yeah, as
yeah, everybody
the auction
stood up,
went,
took their phones out. Man, this is crazy.
You know, this is pulling big money for Diablo. Now, this was ordered new by Donald Trump. He picked the color combinations and he drove it for a little while, and it's got a few miles on it. And it's, you know, it hammered out $1 million, sold for $1.1 million. This really got the room excited. So it's just kind of interesting piece. There you go, a little bit of piece of history. Does it say how many miles were on it? I don't remember how many miles were on it. 15,000 miles. And I don't know how much Trump put on versus how much the other owners put on it.
It's a lot of miles, period, on a Diablo.
Yeah. And then I just brought this one up. This is a 57 Continental. This is a full custom car. But we talked about on podcasts in the past that if you have a nice custom and a good builder, and they really bring their A game, customs are bringing money. This car was $715,000.
Wow.
Whoever commissioned this car to be built probably didn't spend $715,000 getting it built. So to see a custom go for as much or more than what it was built for is a complete shift in the way these cars were going. I mean, it's just, it's crazy to see. Like, we'd see a $500,000 Ring Brothers car pull, I don't know, $300,000, $350,000, and everybody's happy with that number because you've never seen that kind of number before. We saw a C10 pickup truck go up there, really, really nice done, but $330,000 for a C10 pickup truck. Just kind of a crazy things happening there over at Barrett Jackson. Blazers and see 10 trucks. It doesn't matter if it's slammed or if it's lifted. They are just pulling money. Broncos still continue to do well, but the Blazer and the C10 truck is the new Ford Bronco. And Broncos,
yeah, it seemed like it was the weekend or the auction for that. You go out there and go underneath the tents, and every single one of them, you know, one went for, you know, 197 and 330. I think one rolled across, what was it, Friday or Saturday, a black one. It went for like 400 and something.
Yeah, pulling crazy money. And the thing about Broncos, it's similar to those Eleanor cars. If you're doing a Bronco on a stock chassis with an iron block pushrod motor, like a 351 or 302 base, it's a $130,000 truck, $140,000 truck. If you're doing a Coyote swap, and if you're doing an Art Morrison chassis, a Roadster Shop chassis, something like that, it's 180 to, you know, the 250, depending on how nice it is. So, and people are recognizing that at the auction, with the descriptions online and people getting there and be able to get there early enough in the week and really kind of see these cars and crawl under these cars and get your photos. People are paying for quality work, because I have no idea if there was 20 Broncos or 50 Broncos, but there was 2000 cars at Barrett Jackson, and there could have been 30 or 40 Broncos go for the 9 days they were out there. It wouldn't surprise me if there were 30 or 40 Broncos up there. And I'm sure I could just go to the website and click and see, but you've got to pick the right stuff.
You're walking around and looking.
Yeah.
And I missed probably three of the tents, honestly. So I say this before all that. Didn't see a lot of Power Wagons. Usually it's like 15, 20, 30 Power Wagons, it seems.
Yeah, maybe not as many as before. And there's some good companies now that are getting into those more, and they're figuring out how to make them into a cool kind of resto mod. The engine swap is the easy part, but how do you get it to stop and drive and have decent power steering? And that's the things that they're figuring out, and just doing it on the stock components is not really quite there yet. So there's a few companies that are just starting to figure it out. But that being said, how was your Barrett Jackson? What was going on? Some highlights there for you?
You know, I mean, you know, did the Future Collector car show again with Bogey, you know,
that's congrats right, you again hosted to her. That.
Yeah. You know, congrats to her and their awesome car with the Barrett Jackson Cup. They won People's Choice. That was an amazing car. But, you know, when I did the Future Collector car show as a host, you don't really get much time to really look at anything. I think I probably missed 60% of the cars that were just at that specific show. And then, of course, you know, having a busy week, I wasn't able to get back to Barrett until Friday, when we kind of came in at the same time, which was pretty cool, because you had mentioned that I might want to stick around because you never know. And of course, that never know was Sammy Hagar, which was, you know, we haven't talked about that yet, but that was like getting a free concert. And I don't know if there's any other time in my life where something like that would have just happened. And so I probably would have left an hour or two before that, but I'm like, no, you told me and I'm going to stick around.
Yeah, there was a sort of an impromptu performance. So Sammy Hagar had his LaFerrari consigned there. And when Craig Jackson went out to California and filmed the video with him, the car was fine. And then when they brought it to Arizona, they did a few driving, you know, they went to a few places to show the car, to promote it. And there was an issue with the hybrid battery system, and spoke with Ferrari, and it was sort of at the end of its 8-year life cycle. And they decided to pull it from the auction. They're going to work on it, swap the battery. I know Sammy wants that car to be 100% perfect, so he's going to work with Ferrari and get in it tip top shape. And it's going to go to the new Barrett Jackson Scottsdale October auction. There's going to be a smaller auction in October. Smaller meaning not 9 days, it's like 3 days. But, you know, he was scheduled to come out, and he wanted to promote the car. And they had already had this cover band called Red Voodoo that plays a lot of Sammy songs and Van Halen songs. And yes, we knew a little bit ahead of time that Sammy was on his way in, and he was going to pop in and do a few songs with them. And he probably played like 45 minutes.
You know, sure.
He must have done a pretty, pretty good set. So he went out there with Michael Anthony at Barrett Jackson, and and played a bunch of good songs. It was
you know
fun.
that Red Voodoo who opened for them was pretty exciting too. They had a lot of energy. But I hope that people that were just kind of there and didn't realize, you know, obviously with the surprise of Sammy Hagar, yeah, really understood and appreciated exactly what was going on, because, you know, like I said, that's not really probably ever going to happen anywhere again, you know. And then of course the rest of the time, I spend most of my time at Barrett Jackson hanging out and talking to people.
Yeah.
And right. So I probably missed 40% of the cars this year that were there. So I always kind of kick myself. I feel like you have to go earlier in the week and just kind of walk it by yourself or walk it with one other person, because once party time comes on or Super Saturday, it's just so much going on. You know, you really have a time to kind of sit down and look at cars.
Yeah, you have to kind of do a lap on a Tuesday or Wednesday and definitely see all the cars. Now, unfortunately, Tuesday, Wednesday, I think it was raining a bit, so it was a little bit tougher to see all the cars outside. Thursday is not a bad day to do it if you can hit it Thursday morning. But yeah, we had so much going on and we just got sucked into different meetings and stuff. I went out there to do meetings and stuff as well. So by the time I got to some of the Barrett Jackson events in the afternoon, it was a big social gathering. But Friday, when Sammy came out, he played a song, and then Saturday he came back and just sat with us. We all hung out for a couple hours and watched the auction. We had a good conversation about the alcohol business, being somebody who owns a brand and doesn't make any money versus a guy who owns several brands and makes all the money. And I was
you'll get there.
I was like, how do we become you when we grow up? And he was like, good luck. It's the hardest thing ever. Alcohol, there's so many goddamn rules and everything. It's just a big pain in the butt to get any headway in that. My computer keeps making noise with emails. I can only
buy so much Bravago. I was listening to, I think it was your most recent episode, or maybe two episodes ago, because when you guys had Craig Jackson on.
Yeah.
And he was talking about kind of, you know, where the auction came from, you know, and even some of his skill sets, which I had no idea. But he's right. I think of the auction as almost like going to Six Flags with no roller coasters. That's pretty much all it's missing, right? Because you have the food, you have kind of the, I really wouldn't call it a trade show, but, you know, down the main tent, you know, it's, you have
they
all
have
sorts
a big
of
vendor
things
section. And yeah, you go outside, there's ride alongs. Those are the rides, right? Instead of a roller coaster, you can jump into a Mustang or a Challenger or something. And yeah, you could, you know, you can grab a giant turkey leg and a funnel cake while you're out there if you'd like, or you can just walk over to the Blueprint Engines booth or the Superformance booth and see a bunch of their cars. But
I mean, there's all sorts of stuff.
It's a state fair with a car auction in the middle.
It is. All this, there's no animals to pet, so there's no petting zoo, right? And there's no roller coaster. But even going in the main entrance, for people who have never been to a show like this, it's not just all, you know, resto mods and classics. The whole front area is all brand new cars and prototypes and things that are coming out in the regular market. And,
yeah,
you know, that in itself is something you wouldn't expect if you've never been to it.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good event. I'm glad you were there. I'm glad to catch up with you while we were out there. And you guys all did such a great job on the Future Collecting Cars, that event. How's the NSX world treating you? If you, for you guys that don't know, Jay is
the NSX world is crazy as ever.
Is NSX super freak?
Yeah, the NSX world is crazy as ever. You know, I think I got my car situated exactly where I want it. Got a little bit of suspension, got some new wheels, some new tires set up.
Yeah.
Got a little, you know, some go fast parts put on there. And, you know, I'm so busy trying to do the NSX Club of America thing. You know, it's a 3-year term and there's a lot of work to do. So that's one of the gajillion things that I try to stay busy with throughout the week.
You, your previous gen NSX kind of took off, kind of got pretty famous as that car. And then that one eventually you sold and you bought the new one, which I love. The new one is cool. What happened with the first gen one? Like that, how did that sort of take off? How'd you become this NSX guy?
So I've been a super fan for years.
Yeah.
And, you know, once I got the car, it was time. I mean, 20 years is a long time to dream about having or owning a specific car. And then when you get it, you know, sometimes we age out of those type of desires. Everybody had a slant nose Porsche on their wall or a Lamborghini, but, you know, I don't have one. And, you know, given the money, you learn that some of those cars are great to look at, but not very fun to drive all over the place. So, you know, getting the NSX and kind of keeping it normal for years was great. Moving from Michigan to Arizona, you know, you realize on these long, beautiful roads just how dated and slow your car is. You know, and it's not always about speed. It really isn't, but it's about the experience. But you started getting kind of into the car show scene. Yeah. And kind of modifying your car and start competing and doing things. And, you know, so you're pretty much referencing the wrap that I had on there. You know, once I decided to, you know, because I'm kind of a designer by trade, you know, nowhere near Ralph and Chip Foose and those guys who kept doing it and have just done amazing things. But I used to look at cars that were wrapped, you know, the spaceship wraps or the fighter jet wraps. And I would look at the details in the wraps and I'd look at them closely and I'd go, you know, it's a lot of pixelation there, or, you know, there's only one type of screw on here or fixture. And the reality is on aircrafts, there's so many different types of hardware. I could do better. I could do better. Yeah. So one day I just challenged myself to design a wrap and learn Photoshop and, you know, do everything that I said that I thought I could do better on. And, you know, what it ended up being was a kind of a dedicated wrap to a cartoon I used to watch when I was a little kid, and it just kind of took off. And, you know, as you've seen, and some people that know who I am have seen, those miniatures that were made on the other side of the world. I'll get in front of it. I didn't commission any of those. Those are just companies that decided to make money off of the things that I worked on. yeah. But I did reach out.
It's like, it's a little flattering, but also, you know, you could have asked.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. But I was able to reach out and kind of broker somewhat of a relationship, not necessarily a financial one, but it's like, if you're going to make my car, can you at least put my name on it? You know? And so we agreed on that, and I got a few cars and a few at cost, and, you know, have a few pins out there, and that thing just kind of took off. But you know, that's what we do as car people. You know, some of us are driven by different things than others. You know, it would have been nice to be on the cover of a magazine, but I got in a magazine, which is great. But eventually, you know, the guy that's sitting in front of you, you know, Jay Finning, it needed to be more about the car, or less about the car, more about me. So that transition just kind of happened, because at the end of the day, cars come and go, projects come and go, but, you know, you're still the person, and, you know, we have to market ourselves and just be good people and have good relationships. And that's, you know, why I'm right here on your show right now, is because, you know, treat people like they want to be treated and how you want to be treated, and you never know what could happen. So that's the old NSX, you know, car, in a nutshell. After 9 years of ownership, it was just time to kind of progress and get something else. You know, we spend, so many of us, especially, you know, we spend so much time trying to modify and modernize our cars. At some point, if you don't have a garage full of cars, then you get something modern that kind of moves you. And so, you know, the NSX Type S kind of fit that for me. I love the 2017s, the 2021s as well, but it took the Type S for me to sell my old car. And a lot of people don't realize this. Sure, I had the allocation assigned to me.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I could even afford the car until the car got delivered and I started running financing. So I was without a car for about 9 months. And if it didn't work out, then it wouldn't have worked out. I'd be driving in, I don't know, an old Alfa or something else, you know, an Aston Martin. You know, there's a ton of cars that I would love to have. And so, you know, the NSX wasn't the only stop shop. So I might be done with forever cars. I don't know. But that's kind of where I kind of landed, where I am right now.
So you must have thought about doing a similar type of wrap or a theme for the new Type S, because now it has more of a jet fighter look than even the other one did. Although it's been done, so maybe something else.
You never know, Matt, what the future could hold. You know, I'd be a liar if I didn't say that, you know, I didn't think about it and have talked to some people that maybe want to partner up with me. But, you know, to your point, it's been done. You know, so what would come of that? Who knows? So,
right.
But the other car made a lot of sense, being an Acura NSX, being like the official, I don't know, fighter jet car, being one of Gordon Murray's, you know, inspirations when designing the McLaren F1. A lot of people don't know that. That's something that we're kind of proud about. And it fit the car. And so, you know, right now I don't really know, but man, it looks good with the white on white and just kind of sitting there like that. So
yeah, it does. Looks good. Have you done any modifications to the powertrain? I'm just curious because of the hybrid powertrain.
There's not a lot you could do to those cars.
Yeah, there isn't too much, but
And that's the thing about them is they're pretty locked down. You know, there's a, you can do the JB4, which I never did. And then you could do the K tuner. But other than that, it's, you know, your downpipes, your exhaust, and whatever tune. Some of the guys throw methanol at it. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
The car is way too expensive and you blow that motor. You know, I've heard quotes out there where it's upwards of $90,000 to replace the motor. And so yeah, that's pretty much a guaranteed total loss.
Listen, I mean, looking at what Sammy just went through on his LaFerrari, when you start screwing around with the hybrid powertrain, you know, and in this case his battery, I mean, you know, Ferrari's quote is $250,000 on a LaFerrari battery. So
a lot of cars you can get for $250,000.
Yeah, right. Other than just a battery. Awesome, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for joining us up there. Goldberg got caught into something else. I want to talk about his cars as well and what happened at the auction over there, but we're going to save that for when he's back. I think it's better that he gets to get in and share that story. You guys can find Jay. He's at hardparkingpod.com, and he's all over social media as well. Follow his podcast, follow him on YouTube, and go in there, tell him how much you enjoyed him on the show, subscribe to his stuff, and enjoy more of my friend
Thanks,
Jay.
Matt.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap things up. Until next time, keep the air and the spare in the bag of the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.